Jay McAllister, a.k.a. drunken folk singer, Beans on Toast. Welcome to the Mouthcast. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, yeah. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Well, as is your long-standing tradition, there's a new album coming out on the 1st of December, A Spanner in the Works. So before we chat, let's listen to something from that. This is 2016.
www.themouthmagazine.com.
Count yourself lucky for the minutes, the hours and the days. They were singing in the street when David Bowie passed away. And he left behind a message without a shadow of a doubt. Stand up for what is right, stand up for it now. And I'm slap bang in the middle of this life that I lead. And it feels as though society's collapsing at the seams. And everybody knows it's happening, still nobody does anything. Welcome to 2016, with its referendums and its algorithms. A sudden rise of fascism that's fueled by a religious war. The return of the football hooligan. You could say goodbye to Muhammad Ali. Say hello to 2016. Well, you could say goodbye to Prince as well. Say hello to laws that still prevent gay people getting married. The dinosaurs are not evolving, the matters go from bad to worse. You could see it in the eyes of the homelessness, but that don't bother Nigel Farage, Boris Johnson or Michael Gove. Self-righteous, self-serving twats telling us we want our country back until we're voted out by a majority who are petrified of refugees, but not economic slavery. But I whitewashed my Facebook feed so everyone believes what I believe. But believing this stuff don't sell papers. Hey look son, here's another terrorist, here's some more terror, here's some more terrorism, here's another dead kid without any reason. Some more propaganda and public relations, another bloody war followed by a pay cut. Here's a new prime minister, here's a new king. Welcome to 2016. Well, I remember when Terry Wogan died, they were flogging off the public land so that they could frack underneath to please a few conservatives, ignoring scientific fact that it's bad for the planet and it's bad for your health. The media, government, corporation sold your soul to their old school friends with A-levels in the Panama Papers and GCSEs in arms manufacturers. The transatlantic TTIP deal is pretty much the end of us all, and the only ones who benefit are the very people that invented it. And the lesser of two evils wins time and time and time again. Welcome to 2016. To lose and live to win, the words of Lemmy Kilminster, who lived his life without regret. But he was sad of the state of the world that he left. And Guy Clark didn't sing for the money, and Howard Marks did what he wanted. Victoria, she made us laugh, and DJ Derek made us dance. And now we're holding back the tears more than any other year. And they're playing a Merle Haggard song when Donald Duck steps to the throne and tells us to hate Mickey Mouse if we want to live in Walt Disney's house. An angry white man on a microphone with his finger on the button and a nuclear code. But here we are, right now, today, just hoping that it will all go away. But we know that's not how the world works, and if we want to sort it out, we've got to do it ourselves. Try to picture a planet that you want to live on. If you want to build a future, got to start from the bottom. Try to think of something you can do to help. It doesn't matter how small, everything's gonna count. Right now we need you to be the best that you can be and try to make a difference in 2017.
Jay, that was 2016 from the new album, A Spanner in the Works. 2016 didn't really get off to the best of starts with the death of David Bowie. then, of course, there's been much trauma throughout the year with the referendum on membership of the EU, the rise of Donald Trump in the States, the Calais jungle. It's not been the best of years.
No, definitely not. It almost feels like the anxiety's at a mass level as well. It's kind of almost the internet's turned into a bit of a monster, hasn't it? And it's constantly full of sort of bad news, and it feels like everybody's just kind of really anxious. I don't really know what, you know, that my sort of thoughts about it I've put in that song, you know, and I did try to. It's probably the saddest Bing Dong song I've ever written. I did try and at the end, you know, have a bit of a sort of uplift, which is like, you know, here's to 2017. Let's kind of strive to make it better, which surely we can do.
On a personal level, what will 2016 mean to you?
You know, again, it's two sort of different things, isn't it? I mean, at the same time, it feels like, you know, the world's going down the toilet. I still have sort of love for my wife and my family, and I can still enjoy a kind of, you know, a night out down the pub or enjoy playing gigs and whatnot. So it's not like I'm sort of, say, crying about the worries. But it has been a funny year, you know, across the board. And it's weird that it just feels like it sort of started at the beginning, which is why it feels like, I think that's why it's just been a sort of definite marker. It was like, oh, it's straight away when things started happening, it started, you know, 2016 was to blame. I don't know whether it's the stars were aligned the wrong way or whatever, but at least that does, as I said, that gives us a kind of clear point to start cheering up and making things better on the other side.
Yeah. Well, the name Beans on Toast is very English. How did that come about?
Just, you know, I think it describes the music that I make pretty well, to be honest. It's simple, cheap English. And I think originally I sort of wrote a bunch of songs and was probably going to start a band and sort of play the songs with them and was going to use the name Beans on Toast. Then I just ended up it just being a kind of solo thing and still using the name. But I've been playing in the States quite a bit at the moment, and it doesn't translate over there at all.
No.
And then, so I've been over into the States for the past few years, and it's always been a bit of a joke that my name doesn't make any sense. And then, so as you said, this album's called A Spanner in the Works. And then I get over there, I'm promoting this record, and turns out they don't have spanners either. They call them wrenches.
Okay.
And so it's like Beans on Toast with an album called A Spanner in the Works, which pretty much just sounds like absolute nonsense, which, you know, I think it's quite funny, to be honest.
You're probably more well known for your live performances than your recorded output. I saw you at a festival a little while ago, and it was really interesting because half of the audience knew what to expect, even though the show was quite unpredictable, and the other half didn't really know what had hit them.
Okay, well, that sounds like a good review of a Beans on Toast gig. Yeah, I mean, you know, certainly it's, you know, festivals is almost where my music finds its kind of home. You know, that was where it was sort of born. And I don't really see it. I don't really divide it up between, you know, making records or touring or playing festivals. It's just sort of one constant, you know, one feeds the other. If I wasn't putting out a new record a year, then I wouldn't be able to go back to the same festivals each year to play. So it's like, it's one huge project that is my life, basically.
What is it that you bring to the stage? Because, you know, you appeared to be slaughtered, actually, but I thought...
I probably was.
Well, you seem to be in complete control of what you were doing, so...
Well, I've been doing it for a long time, and...
Drinking or...
I've been drinking longer than I've been singing. Yeah, it's like, you know, I guess it was kind of born out of, you know, first day playing at, you know, parties and festivals where, you know, it was, I guess, the kind of getting hammered was the first thing, and the gig was the second. And I guess now, you know, that I'm actually being asked to play gigs, whether you're supposed to see it in a different light, I don't know. I just enjoy it, basically. You know, like, there's, as long as I'm having a good time, I think everybody else will. And that, I guess that's what I bring to the show, really.
I remember you passing a bottle of, I think it was rum, passing a bottle of rum around the audience. And at one point, you stopped a song and said, "Where's the bottle?"
So, it was long gone, I bet.
Yeah, I think it was. Well, you release a record every year on the 1st of December, which is actually your birthday. Was that what gave you the idea? Was it a kind of, okay, I can have a birthday party and a gig launch party.
Exactly that. For the first album, many moons ago, that was the kind of the way of thinking. There's a kind of, when you first start making music, you kind of rely on your friends to come to your gigs because, you know, who else is going to come? And you can only really expect them to show up for a certain amount of shows, if you know what I mean. And there's a time when people that you know have got to stop coming to your gigs and people that you don't know that like your music do. And I guess around the time of that sort of first album, I was sitting on the fence a little bit, whereas like only a few mates would come to a gig and a few people that like the music would come. So I was just like, well, if I do a birthday party, then my mates will come. And if I do an album launch, then the people that like the music will come. And it was a little bit of a kind of bums on seats sort of thing. And it was also just because the album was ready around that time. And it was like, well, let's just put it out then. It just sort of makes sense. And then the following year, there was another record and it was around at a similar time. And it was just like, let's just put it out. And without thinking too much about it, it's just like, let's just put it out on the same day again, because, you know, it was kind of cute last year. By the time you do the third one, then it just turns into a thing. And it has really benefited. Not that it was kind of part of a master plan, but it has definitely benefited, especially with festivals and kind of just because I like touring so much. So you wouldn't, as I said before, you wouldn't get this bookings year in, year out if you didn't kind of have sort of confirmation that there's new material and that there's going to be a kind of different show. And it also just now, it just feels like that is my kind of output. You know, by the time I go to the studio in September, it's I've got an album and just sort of always have. So it's just kind of, the wheel just kind of turns that way. So it wasn't sort of very well thought out, but it's definitely kind of benefited overall. Hence, I've been doing it now. This will be my eighth album. So
yeah,
that's been sort of 8 years of that kind of cycle.
I like that, actually, that idea that it's
reliable.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, well, the debut album that you mentioned, Standing on a Chair, was a 50-track album, so I would guess up to that point, putting that first record out, there was a lot of pent-up creativity.
It was at the time I was playing a lot of gigs, but not really, I never really saw it as you said, you know, it's a live thing, and I never really even thought about making a record. I was just playing all the time and just writing songs constantly. And then it went Extra Mile. I was doing one of the first sort of larger Frank Turner tours. And an Extra Mile said, look, do you want to make a record just to sell on the road? If not anything else, it's going to be worth it. And I was just like, well, I just couldn't picture how I could do a Beans on Toast record. I was like, I just want to do something different. And they was like, well, look, if you make a record, we'll put it out, basically. And then I sort of counted my songs, and I had like 47 songs. So I just wrote another three and was like, great, I'll just do a 50-track album. And then originally, it was kind of when CDs still sort of held a bit of weight as well. So it was, my plan was to, what I did do is release it in a double CD mega pack, like the old, now that's what I call music CDs. And I went back to Extra Mile. I was like, here's the record, it's 50 tracks. I want it spread across two CDs in this kind of massive thing. And I was like, well, if you do it that way, you know, no one makes them CDs anymore. It's going to cost a fortune. No one's going to earn any money off it. And I was like, oh, well, that's a shame. We'll still soldier ahead and do it. And that's kind of, and God bless them, that's what they did do. So so that was the first record. Yeah, been with Extra Mile ever since.
Well, we're going to play out in a few minutes with the track Afternoons in the Sunshine, again, from A Spanner in the Works. Tell us a bit about the new album.
Well, so with this one, so as I said, it's album eight. And it was actually on the day of, so on my birthday last year, the day the last record came out, I was out with a friend. I already had the name A Spanner in the Works, and I was like, I want to do something a bit different. And he said, he's a really old mate, he used to play trumpet for us, and he was just like, you want to do an album without guitars if you want to do something different. Automatically, you'll have a different sounding album, yeah. And that would be A Spanner in the Works. And I was like, great, let's do it, and sort of signed him up to produce it, even though he's not really he's a producer, but he's never really done any records like this before. And he's kind of agreed to it, and that was that, really. We set about, we had a couple of sessions. I wrote the whole album as per usual on, you know, just on a guitar, and sort of played it over through the summer. And then when we went to the studio, we was just like, right, let's strip out the guitars. Basically, we just did the whole thing on a laptop, apart from 2016, which we used as a kind of segue. It's the opening track on the album. So that's a kind of standard Beans on Toast guitar tune. And then after that, the whole album goes into basically sort of synthesized sounds that we made on a computer, which was an incredible experience because it's an endless amount of sounds that you can make out of a laptop, and you don't need a recording studio to do it. You know, you just need a pair of good speakers, basically. And we came up with a way of tracking the tunes, and then so we tracked it with a guitar and then took them out and then just replaced it with beats and synths. And made the record like that, and then put a little bit of live on. There's a bit of live trumpet and a bits and bobs, but most of it, yeah, it just all came out of a laptop computer, which is good. I'm really proud of it. And I don't think it sounds hugely different from other Beans on Toast records. I think at the end of the day, you know, the words and the kind of voice which kind of carry this. Yeah, I'm proud of it, and it is definitely, it was a different recording experience, which is nice.
Do you think that method of working, of tracking and then taking the guitars out, is that where you're going to go in the future, do you think?
No, definitely not. Each record I've done with someone, like, I've always worked with someone different. My record before Rolling Up the Hill, for example, was recorded with a country band in Kansas. So it's like, it's always, it's just kind of, especially when it's, when you're talking about albums sort of 6, 7 and 8, it feels like a good time to kind of mix it up. But it's not like, I mean, for this record live, we're not like dragging the laptop on stage or anything like that. You know,
it's not a Kraftwerk show.
it's definitely going to be, you know, it'll be banjo, guitar and harmonica. And with a bit of piano thrown in. But, you know, I'd never say never. Maybe next, excuse me, maybe next record, I will feel like doing, I'll do it with sort of digital sounds again. I'm just open for, I don't know, yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Stumbling my way through, yeah, as the next record.
You mentioned working with other people there. You've worked with Frank Turner and Kate Tempest in the past, Emmy the Great too, who's a favourite here. What's that like for you, working with other people?
So. I mean, with all of them are quite different, really. And most of them are friends, first and foremost. Like, you know, I knew Emmy from way back, and Frank, you know. So me and Frank go sort of way back to Nambuka Pub in Holloway Road, and an event I used to do called Sensible Sundays. We became friends there, and, you know, he's looked after me more than anybody else. You know, I wouldn't be here talking to you right now if it wasn't the kind of doors that Frank and his music has opened for us. Mm. And that goes to, you know, out to the States and whatnot. So that's all good. With Emmy, you know, she was a mate and I loved her music, and I just kind of, you know, convinced her to come to the studio when we was doing that first record and sing. It was actually on a song about her. I didn't tell her that until she got there. So I got Emmy singing on a song about her. And then a similar thing with Kate. I saw Kate play, must have been 6 years ago or something, at Glasgow in like a tiny little tent, and was like blown away as much then as I am now. You know, I truthfully believe she's the greatest wordsmith alive today, you know, and I follow her kind of poetry and her music and her writing religiously almost. So we did a tour together called River Rat Pack again way back in the day, and became friends. And, you know, I just said, look, can I get you on a track? And she came round one afternoon and I played her a song, and she, you know, instantly wrote a really nice poem about the moon and then stuck it in the tune, which came back to the studio and put it in. So stuff like that, you know, I'm always up for collaborations, and you know, and that's almost by doing the solo thing, it makes it really easy to do that. You know, I've got a Christmas song that I do with band called Skinny Lister, and I play with like this sort of rave circus band called Slamboree, where I do one tune with them. So it's like, because I'm up for it and can quite quick at writing lyrics. So it's like, if I hear some a band that I like, I'm just like, oh, do you want to do a tune? We could do it about this. And I can just write some words, and then you can do your music, and before you know it, boom, there's a tune there.
Yeah. You are often described as a folk singer, and folk is obviously any kind of music that people listen to, really. But who would you say are your key influences? Have those influences come from traditional folk music, let's say?
I guess so. Yeah, I mean, like, my dad sort of raised me on country music, whether I liked it or not, you know.
Right.
And it was almost pretty, you know, I loved it as a kid, you know, John Prine and sort of Randy Travis and even some of the really cheesy 80s country I was like big fan of. And then through adolescence, I sort of moved away and listened to hip hop and all this. And then it was kind of towel between my legs going back to my old man's house, asking to borrow Prime CD, and he was like, oh, I knew you'd come back. And so I'd sort of worked my way sort of full circle, almost kind of through hip hop, what, listening to Beck, and then realizing that I liked the kind of acoustic music on the Beck albums, and then back to unashamedly listening to what my dad played me as a kid and realizing how much I loved it. So there's definitely a root there in, you know, and the kind of, you know, Bob Dylan's and the Bruce Springsteen's of the world, you know, that was all in my dad's record collection as well. So there is definitely that, you know, I still listen to my favorite songwriter kind of right in today is a guy called Todd Snyder.
Right.
And he's a kind of sort of hippie country singer. Just sort of contemporary and sort of feel good, but just kind of clever. And you know, he certainly has a lot of influence on the music that I make. And but you know, so does day to day. Really, I think all my tunes are the same kind of three chords. I think now more, you know, the sort of I take more inspiration from the world and living than I necessarily do from, because the sound is already there. If you know what I mean, unless I start taking guitar lessons, I'm not going to be able to play any other style of music ever again. So yeah, you know, there's the best thing about songwriting is that there is no rules. You know, you can take inspiration from wherever the hell you want to. It's not all folk music, but I do have a love for kind of classic folk. Yeah.
Yeah. To round up, the American election is mere days away, and the world seems obsessed by it, and that's understandable. It's interesting to note how sprawling the influence of the United States is. The election is dominating the news worldwide. Do you have an instinct of how that might go?
No. You know, I was out there a couple of weeks ago. I watched the first debate, the first of the two sort of presidential debates in a kind of a bar in Chicago that was full up with people that were there to watch the debate. And it was even more like WWF wrestling than before, you know, with people kind of jeering and cheering. And they was all very much, you know, the bar was a kind of lefty sort of Bernie Sanders bar, you know, and it was sort of a relatively good company. I spoke to a lot of people when I was in the States, not just people at my gigs, you know, from taxi drivers to people that worked in bars, trying to make head or tail of it. And they feel the same way as us. So the only sort of real difference I could find is that everybody was surprised that English people were kind of following it so much. Everyone was like, oh, right, you've heard about it. And I was like, well, yeah, of course we have. You know, the whole world's watching. But, you know, that said, at the same time, I'm sure there's huge political elections going on in Brazil that we aren't privy to. Unless you kind of dig deeper into your social media newsfeed. But as far as predictions, you know, I don't have a hell of a lot of love for either of them. You know, it's definitely a lesser of two evils scenario. But obviously, you know, Trump getting in would be the end of the world as we know it, I would imagine, isn't it? Or certainly terrifying. There's not a huge amount of hope there, whichever way it goes. And similar with the referendum here, whatever happens, because it's so close, whatever happens, half the country are going to be annoyed, which is bad anyway. You know, whatever side of the fence you sit on, you know, you have it splitting people literally in half, countries in half like that, with such opposing views, it's tragic. It's a really sorry state of affairs.
It would just be so 2016, wouldn't it, if Trump got in?
Yeah. I almost want to get it over and done with now, just so that we know that it feels like it's... I mean, you know, I've always paid attention to the American elections, but it feels like I've been watching this for, like, the last 2 years. Now we just need to know where we stand a little bit, isn't it? But, yeah, it's going to be... Wednesday morning's going to be a tough one.
naivety isn't bliss. And that's why I'm waving a placard, banning a bomb, righting a wrong, or trying and being ignored. Cause if you want the pie in the sky, well baby you'd better believe it. Cause the moon on a stick to the filthy and rich is another political puppet. And the left-leaning liberals got lonely, defending the rights of us all. Everyone else just looks selfish, thinking of only a few. But we have all got our opinions, and we will all share them in time. Sometimes our opinions are different though, and that's where the problems lie. But we all wanna live, we all wanna laugh, we all wanna love, and we all wanna dance. So let's put our problems aside, spend an afternoon in the sunshine. I'm wearing my rose-tinted glasses over my bleeding heart, enjoying every moment of this wonderful life that I've got. Fooling myself that by singing my songs, I'm kind of doing my bit. But I'm as embarrassed as everyone else at the size of my footprint. But I wanna eat meat, and I wanna fly. I don't wanna feel guilty just for being alive. And I'll work hard to keep my afternoon in the sunshine. Like an angry open letter and an online think piece, an out-of-tune folk song at an under-attended protest. We're all looking left and right as the world goes down the drain. Let's think about the things that we agree on for a change. Cause we're all skin and bones, we're all flesh and blood. We all get lonely and we all need love. Deep down we are all the same, just a human in a race. And we all wanna live, we all wanna laugh, we all wanna love, and we all wanna dance. So let's put our problems aside, spend an afternoon in the sunshine.
www.themouthmagazine.com